Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Wind Down Day. Woohoo! I love your dress.
Thank you.
So much. You look.
I appreciate it. I popped.
Absolutely stunning. And you popped. I saw that on Instagram and I was going to text you and be like, you popped.
I did. I definitely popped. But I still feel like I have to wear like tighter stuff because it's still like, but I definitely feel like I have a belly now where it's like hard. I can't suck in anymore. So it's exciting.
But you're very lean everywhere else. So you're totally fine.
Give me another couple of weeks. And no, but I'm like, I'm super excited. Yeah, it's nice to finally like feel and like I feel pregnant, but now I like starting to look pregnant. It's not just like my boobs.
And so. Are you starting to feel better?
Oh my gosh, Michael and I went on a date night last week.
Where did you guys go?
We went to Katsuya, just something, and then we went to see a movie. We went to see Sicario, which I didn't love, but which is a bummer because I loved the first one. But we went to Katsuya. I've had sushi before, just the cook stuff. I'm not doing the raw per doctor recommendation. And even though my friend Beth would be like, eat it up, girl. But I'm just following the rules. I'm just so scared. I'm just following every single rule.
This one. Well, as you should.
I did have a Jimmy John sandwich, but that's different. Yeah. Anyways. So, but we were eating and I had my big crab hand roll. I was having my California roll. And all of a sudden I looked at Michael and I was like, oh no, babe, I don't feel good.
Oh no.
I threw up everywhere.
No. Wait, in Katsuya?
So I go, and like a little bit comes out and I literally grab my barf bag from my purse, run outside.
Wait, you have a barf bag in your purse?
I do. I carry a plastic barf bag. It sucks.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Pour this mineral water on your face right now. No,
I'm sorry.
I know. It's so sad. But yeah, it was gross because it was a green like actual barf bag that I got from like the hospital the last time I was there because I was super dehydrated. So I mean, I saw my entire California roll in Big Crab. I was like, I'm never having sushi again.
No, you ever. Won't. Even after this baby.
Disgusting. I'm just like, so I started crying and I was like, we're trying to have a date night and I'm disgusting and I'm ugly as I have like puke in my hair. And he's like, no, babe, you're beautiful. He's like picking it out of my hair, like the rice.
Like, so sweet. It was a James Arthur song.
Yeah. but besides that, I feel good. It's just sometimes if I eat too fast, I still can't drink water. Like I still can only have like
only
bubbly water. I can only drink like bubbly, sparkling like LaCroix, or I'm drinking like Topo Chico right now. So it's like if I have something that sits on my stomach, I have to take rest, make sure I like. So it's frustrating, but I mean, I'm obviously very grateful I'm pregnant. It's just I wish I wasn't still puking because I shouldn't be.
No,
but this baby is giving me some tough times, but
it'll all be worth it.
Do you want to know the gender?
I'm dying to know. I sort of am able to guess just by some of the things you've been talking about.
Okay, what do you think it is?
Well, I'm not going to guess because what if I'm
wrong? Who cares?
No, I just know. Here's the thing. When I was pregnant with Rocco, I was so sick.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But they say you're sick with a girl.
I think it's the opposite. I also only craved super, super hot, spicy food and lemonade.
Gross.
Lemons. I wanted sour.
I craved lemonade with Jolie.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm. Okay. So I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I thought maybe we could dial up Mike. Let's see if he's around. I know he's at work, but hopefully he'll pick up.
Are you guys going to do a gender reveal?
Oh, yeah. It's on my Instagram right now. You can see it. It's really cute. Yeah. Okay. So really quick, though, I want to talk to you about Peavolve. Steven Pastorino is the founder of Peavolve. He has completely immersed himself in the world of fitness for over 15 years, and he believes in helping people transform their bodies through sustainable methods that create incredible tone and definition without straining, damaging, or bulking muscles, which I think is fantastic. So basically, what I love is that It's a streaming service. The Pvolve streaming service offers a large library of videos, including structured workout plans and new videos that are updated weekly. So users can stream to sculpt, which is great, tone and define anytime, anywhere from any device. So I know I saw that you have a cycling thing.
I do.
In your office. So yes. I think this is really cool. So you can make the commitment, sign up, and choose your workout delivery method, which is awesome. And you can do this from your office. And you can get the thighs, booty, and abs you want, which is amazing. The P-ball gives you an even better lift for your glutes and sculpt your inner and outer thighs. So I know that you just got that lipo. So now
I did. I got lipo, and I've been hitting it hard. And I'm going to add this.
Yeah, definitely add it because the program includes a 30-day challenge. So 6-day total body and 3-day body burn.
I love this.
Yeah, we can totally do it together.
We should.
To get 30 days free streaming, go to pvolve.com/Kramer. That's pvolve, pvolve.com/Kramer for 30 days streaming for free. pvolve.com/Kramer.
I know what I'm doing tonight.
Michael?
Hello.
Hi, babe.
Hey, honey.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
You already did the gender reveal?
No. No. I wanted to call you because I wanted to do it together since I asked you to be in studio. But he's like, I have to work.
You're so thoughtful. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Catherine's
so
here, too. My girlfriend, Catherine, from Nashville. Say hi, Catherine.
Hi.
You talked her into coming to booth?
Yeah, I did. She hates me, but it's fine. Oh, yeah. We have a sex therapist on, so I'm going to make sure that, you know, Catherine's here for this one because she loves me.
Perfect.
But, babe, are you ready to tell everybody what the gender of our baby is?
Yeah.
What did you... Wait, no. Easton, hold up. What did you think it was?
Me?
Yeah.
I thought it was a girl, for sure.
Yeah.
And you?
Hands down a girl. I was sick. I was craving fruit. I felt gross, which is how I felt with Jolie. So I was like, I'm definitely having a girl. And I secretly, like, I also wanted a girl too. I wanted, like, you know, to have a sister for Jolie.
Right. So sweet.
Did that come true? Okay, Easton.
Okay.
Now you can.
Drum roll, please.
Is it a girl? Is it a boy? One, two, three. It's a
boy.
Woo! Woo! Yeah. We're having a boy.
Little boys
are.
Had a baby, it's a boy.
Do we have a name picked out?
We do, but we're not sharing the name until day of.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I have some funny stories about sharing the name too early.
Well, we started to do we picked out two names, right, babe? It was two, wasn't it?
Yeah, well... We picked out a lot of boys.
Well, he was coming up with boy names are so hard. Like,
they
super hard.
Are so difficult.
But like Rocco, that's such a cute name.
But I named Rocco after Saint Rocco, the patron saint of healing. And I just heard the other day, the patron saint of bachelors, which did not make me happy.
That's amazing.
You just set him up for success. Good job.
Michael. Yeah.
But I went through so many names because nothing was resonating with me.
Yeah, we had it how we said before, we had our names picked out. It was, you know, Jolie. And then if it was a girl, we were going to name her Charlie.
Oh, I love that.
Love. But we always had our boy name be Carter. But then, what was it? Wasn't it Carter, babe?
It started as Grayson.
Oh, it started as Grayson. Oh, and then my girlfriend had a baby named Gray. And then another Grayson. So I was like, okay, that one's gone. And then we changed it to Carter. But then I feel like there's so many Carters now. So I'm like, and I love how Jolie's name, it's a little different. It's not really, that popular. And so we came up with a few. I hated Jet. Sorry, not that I don't like if someone has Jet. For me personally, that's not the name. But Michael really liked Jet, didn't you, babe?
Yeah. I mean, we were playing with a lot of different names. I mean, I liked a lot of stuff. We weren't sure for a long time. I just feel like it was so hard. Like a little girl is just easy. And then a boy, I feel like there's more men out there that ruin names for guys, and there
totally.
Are like,
oh, I was
sure.
Like, oh, can't, because he was a total, you know, douchebag in high school. Nope, mm-hmm. Can't name him this, can't name that. Baby, remember when we came up with Jeter John?
Hey, Jeter, John.
We're like, I was like, what about Jeter? And like, Michael's middle name is John, so we, you know, we kind of wanted to like incorporate John. And I was like, Jeter. Like, he's like, yeah, I like Jeter. I'm like Jeter John. Like, and then we're like, Jeter John. Jeter John. Get your butt down here, Jeter John.
Yeah, it came out super redneck when we said it out loud.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we sent it to Catherine. I was like, hey, Catherine, what do you think about Jeter John?
I was like, she's what like, the hell are you saying?
I know. Jeter, like, John. Jeter John. His name's Jeter John.
No.
It's not even a name. It's noise.
Yeah, I know. Jeter John. Yeah. But no, we came up with that name, so that was crossed off. What else did we come up with? It's so hard. We came up with,
For a long time, I thought I always wanted like a Michael John Dawson Jr.
Yeah, I nixed that right in the butt.
Yeah.
You gave him a little bit at times when we couldn't come up with one. But.
No, you said, what was the other name that you loved about that boy when you were growing up? What was his name?
Oh, Kalo.
He wanted Kalo. And to me, that sounds like a kilo of like.
Like keloid? Or keto.
I'm like.
Keto? Keto was with but, OJ?
But no, like Kalo, I was like, I'd rather have Michael John. That's what I gave him, like the Michael John one. But we came up with something that has a meaning that is very, and this baby has been very, for both of us. Yeah. So I'm really excited to share the name because it is really special for both of us. And we told his, I haven't even told you. We told his, you know, dad and grandpa. And so there's meaning with those, with them too. So it just feels like great.
I love it.
You know, and I was honestly, I'll say this. So we did like a pinata thing. It's on the Instagram right now, but, I for sure thought it was a girl. He thought it was a girl. And secretly, like, I never had a sister. So I always wanted to kind of know what that was like having a sister. Obviously I'm so happy. Like, if it was a boy or a girl, but again, like I always wanted a sister. So I wanted that for Jolie, and knowing that this is like the last baby out of my body. Like I was just like, but then at the same time, like now I'm so pumped to have a boy. Like everybody's telling me like those boys love their mamas.
I was just going to say Rocco, all he wants to do is cuddle. He just is a little lover. Boys love their mamas.
I know. But I'm scared to have a boy because I know Mike is really scared.
Well, you guys are just going to have to grow through it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's just, you know, we have the little girl thing figured out. Mm-hmm. You know, we both had our very genuinely real shocking emotions when we found out it was a boy.
Yeah. I cried.
Janet says tears. And I was in complete shock. I didn't know. I couldn't put words to it. But we both come around a lot on it. And
Jana
especially, she's already starting to buy clothes, but anyone that knows Jana, she like loves buying clothes for other people and even men.
Oh, so I like love men's clothing.
Christmas time, like me and like my dad get hooked up.
Oh, that's awesome.
Buy clothes for men. So like, she's going to spend so much more money on clothes for our son, that she is Jolie.
I know. I came home the day. I'm like, look what I got for a baby boy. And like, he's like, drop crotch this. And I was like it's so cute. Crotch, like,
it's so cute. The boys.
Like, and I'm like, oh God.
I just can't wait. And I think like for Mike is like, he's just like, he has to walk a very fine line with like, you know, obviously we're both raised great. We have great families, but it's also, you know, ways that we want to change. Like he wants to, you know, do different things as a father. And, you know, it's just, it's hard, like making sure that you don't do, how do I say that, babe?
Well, it's really more of just a bigger picture of society in a sense of the whole old school, you know, way of life as a male of hiding your emotions. Mm-hmm. Don't cry. Don't show vulnerability. Be tough. Be that. It's shifted a lot in today's culture where, you know, it's okay to be that, but at the same time, you still got to be tough and know when to show things and know when to keep it too close to your chest. And so it's just going to be difficult, I think, for any father, for any parent, let alone like raising any child. But I just feel like there's something special about a father raising a son in today's world and dealing with those obstacles of trying to really create a well-balanced environment for your child.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's like, you know, again, like kind of looking back on like your childhood and stuff, it's like how our parents raised us has affected us in our adult life. You know, not saying they're bad, you know what I mean? But they're, you know, I'm sure we're going to mess our kids up in some way, but we look back and be like, man, like, you know, my dad was really, he didn't give me that, you know, I was good enough. So now I strived for good enough in other men, or like, mm-hmm. in with, you know, your father, you have your issues too, where it's like, you know, you want to like kind of change the pattern a little bit.
Yeah. Every single person wants to do that. Right. Cause like even our parents, when they became parents, they wanted to do things different than what their parents did. And so, you know, like we said before on your podcast, is like, you know, we know like our parents did the best that they can. We're doing the best that we can. And that's all you can ask for. And so all you can do is learn from your life experiences, like everything else. And so right. When you become parents, you're going to learn from your life experience of having parents and what they did with you. And obviously you're going to have things you might want to change or do differently.
What is your biggest fear about having a boy, though? I'll tell you mine for you.
Go ahead.
So he was at my gym, and there was, and it's kind of like we kind of talked about a little bit. There was a little girl, like if a little, okay, so there was a little boy around the same age as Jolie. He was crying, and Michael's first reaction was like, stop crying, shut up, like, but if right. it was Jolie, he'd be like, come here, what's wrong, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And that he came home and he's like, man, he's like, I noticed that was just like, shut up, kid, you know?
Right.
But if it was a girl, but so it's like, it's again being tender with a boy and still acknowledging, like, you know, why are you crying, what hurt your feelings, it's okay to feel that way,
right?
But also mm-hmm. being like, you know, but you don't want to raise a softy either, so
right, exactly. And that's my biggest fear, is just kind of like what I said and what you just touched on, is creating a balanced environment where, you know, actually being vulnerable is a major way of expressing toughness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, you know, in my mind, that is actually being tough, is showing, you know, your cards and showing your emotions. But still, there's a time and a place to do that. And so, you know, again, your natural reaction of how you were raised in some situations is going to come up. And Jana knows that, and I know that, and I know that Jana's going to do everything she can to keep me in check, because I'm going to have times where my patience is short, and I get short-tempered, and I just want to kind of react and you know, and just kind of come out and give it to him a little bit. And those times will happen, and sometimes he's going to need that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's never going to happen, because I think kids need that.
Yeah.
You know, to be like, hey, cut the shit, you know, like, act right. So, but no, I think we have the same fear going into that.
Mm-hmm. We'll keep each other.
On me about raising a boy.
I don't know what to do with this little peewee.
Well, get ready to get peed on. I would wear sunglasses when you're changing him, because you take that diaper off. Well, and if you're not careful, you just
keep it covered.
Yeah.
But it's
take a wipe and put it over every time.
Or they have
teepees.
But it's like,
or
how do you clean like a penis? Like, I'm like,
it's easier than a vagina.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like it's so easy, which is like, I know my parts. I know her parts. And it's like with a boy, it's like, I avoided little peepees and now I got to have, you know,
now you have to wash one.
Yeah. And Jen and Catherine, you guys can attest to this. I gave Jana the heads up just because, you know, I remember when my brother was a baby and changing him and them having little baby erections.
Yeah, that is disgusting. I don't know. No.
Yes.
Yeah.
How?
Sorry.
Well, it's not like he's watching baby porn. Like,
sexual.
Baby. Let's stop.
Morning wood for like a baby. It's just like, it just happens.
I'm sorry. I will scream. Just like when, because that's why I never wanted a boy dog. And the first time that I saw Waffle's little lipstick come out, ooh, I like was like, get the F away from me. Like, that's so disgusting. Yeah, so that's probably my biggest thing. And then also, I'm going to feel really, really, really bad for his girlfriends. Like, and then his wife, like, I'm going to feel real bad.
You're going to be the ultimate monster-in-law.
I'm going to be, yeah, I know. And like,
oh, don't say that.
No, I will. 100%. Because like, I always like, I love you, Pam. I just want to say that, like, first and foremost, like, I know his mother-in-law, my mother-in-law listens to this, Michael's mom. She's amazing. She's so great. But in the very beginning, you know, she was like, this is a tradition. Like, you know, everyone comes home for Christmas. And I was like, no, like, and then I wanted like Michael to like stick up for me to be like, no, I don't want to like, and so like, and he didn't say anything. And I was like, dude, mm-hmm. like, what? And he's like, well, like, my mom. I was like, you're not married to your mom. Like, you're married to me. And I was like, but now if I'm like Pam and...
Yeah, just wait till our son tells you that.
No,
yeah.
That's the thing. I'm going to be like, that hell you. I was like, divorce her. Like, I would be like, I'm going to be so... I mean, I'm going to be like Pam on steroids. Like, I'll be like, no, absolutely not. There is no, like, ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, in like, kind of like, how I shut her down a little bit. Like, I'm going to, like... annihilate this woman that comes in and like tries to steal my Christmas with my child,
right? Mm-hmm.
And my little son.
Have much greater respect for after dealing with that.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously I do now, but it's hard hard for the boys to also have that transition from their mama because he's like, you know, Mike was such like, but it's like, hey, like we now have our family, and like, but and so I have to then remember that too. Like being from, but at the same time, I'm like, this is my little boy. Like, you are mine.
Right. It will be. And I will probably be very similar when it comes to Rocco bringing girlfriends home. But I have some serious ex monster in law stories.
Oh, really?
That will make you laugh out loud. We should do that.
We should cover monster in law stories.
Because everybody has them.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, I'm so fortunate, like, you know, Pam is fantastic and I'm so fortunate that she's my mother-in-law, you know, but I mean, again, like,
but in the beginning, it's difficult.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Mike,
push and pull in the beginning.
It's always the guy's mom.
It is, because the guys don't like, they're afraid to say something to their mom.
Right.
Which I now like can like appreciate, understand now having a boy and not knowing like where my heart pulls strings for, but it's at the same time, it's also like
our mom.
I know, and I love that, but at the same time, I'm your wife, you know, like, so but now I kind of understand both sides of it, but it's always like, the dude, it's like, you're not sleeping with your mom, you're sleeping with me, so that's gonna
bottom
be,
line.
Yeah, and then like any of the girls he brings home that look like hoes, like, oh, go, bye.
Bye. Like with the P-trap. Yeah. You're like,
yeah, not gonna happen, but no. I'm really excited to raise a boy with you, honey, and I love you, and I'm just very happy that we're in a good place and that we're bringing another baby into this world and that it's a boy, and we're gonna have the best of both worlds now.
We are. It's gonna be a lot of fun and a whole new series of learning.
And you get to teach him how to respect women. And I think that's going to be awesome because you're in such a good place and because you can now, because you can now show him the way to respect and treat a woman.
Yeah, there's no question that those are going to be the biggest times that I'm going to have to watch my temper and how I react, is because that has been such obviously a thing for me and in my growth as a human being, as a person, as a man. That if he starts to act in ways that are negative, that I learned through the hardest ways possible what not to do and how to treat people, that I might just go off.
Yeah.
And beat that ass, you know, lying or treating women bad or something like that. I don't know how my patients will do it. You might let me, honestly. You might be like, yep, go ahead, honey.
Go.
But...
No, all right, baby, we'll get back to work. I love your face, and I'll see you at home.
All righty.
Okay,
love you too, honey.
All right.
Bye, Mike.
Bye. Okay, because I don't have my period right now, I'm going to let Jen take this. She is a Lola expert.
I am. And you know what? Look.
Oh, my God. She has them in her purse right now. Can I see one?
Here's a super. Here's a regular.
Oh, my gosh. These are great.
You know, so, for different sizes, for different days. Throughout the week when you're on your period, because, you know, when you first start, the flow's heavy and then it lightens up.
Yeah. And you don't want to, you don't need like 5 million heavies when you like, so what I love about it is you can customize whatever size, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The box, you can customize it. You can do half and half. I think they even have a smaller, like a super small, they have panty liners. They come once a month. They show up exactly at the right time. And they actually remind you like, oh, shoot, I'm going to start my period because there's the Lola box.
That's fantastic. I think that's so great. And it's also, it's good for you too. They're BPA free plastic applicators. So they're good for your body. So, you know, we worry, they're 100% natural, which I love. There's no mystery fibers or doubts about what's going in your body. So I feel like we care about what we're eating. So we should also care about what we're actually inserting into our body.
Yeah, absolutely. They offer pads, liners, and you can choose the number of boxes you want as well. I get 2 a month. so that I kind of have a stockpile.
Stock, yeah.
And I put the extras in my travel bag. I have them everywhere.
I love that. Well, for 40% off all subscriptions, visit MyLola.com and enter Jana when you subscribe. That's MyLola.com and enter Jana for 40% off all subscriptions, MyLola.com and enter Jana. All right, I'm really excited about this because we have a sex therapist that's going to be on. Her name is Leslie Gustafson.
I'm so excited. She's also a marriage and family therapist as well. So we can ask her everything.
Oh, everything. I like that.
I do too.
That's really, especially like family, you know, like, I mean, I've been to like therapists, obviously, mm-hmm. but like, I wonder if she deals with like the whole family. Like, the whole family comes in. And like sits down and talks to.
I want to hear all about that.
Yeah, I know. I love that. I'm excited. But she's like the real deal, apparently. I mean, she has a book too called, her passion is to help as many individuals and couples as possible to create amazing love, amazing sex, and amazing lives. So she developed the Amazing Intimacy Box Company.
I want to hear more about this. Wait a second.
That's really cool.
This is like. Oh my God. It's like all the boxes.
Box subscriptions. Yeah. Where created fun, loving, pleasurable experiences get delivered to your doorstep with inspirational coaching provided. That's really cool.
That's,
I like that.
Awesome. I wonder what comes in those boxes.
I know. I'm excited to ask her. I want to know. Asterisk that right now.
And I might want to get in on this. I might want a monthly membership.
But you're single.
Sort of.
Oh, that's right. You have kind of like the man friend.
I have a man friend.
Yeah. Is it getting better?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're just friends.
But then why would you want to... This is...
Wait. You know what? I just totally lied.
Oh, my God.
No, he's...
Your first lie.
I know. I lied.
Why?
I don't know why I did that.
Why'd you lie?
I don't know.
Okay.
That was so weird.
Do you not want him to be your boyfriend?
No, I do. I love him. He's so kind. He's incredible.
Then why?
I don't know. Why did I just say that?
Why did you just lie to me?
I don't know.
Are you not ready?
I am so ready.
I'm
no. I think it's because this is the first time. This is very public on this podcast, and I think that.
Well, we're not saying his name.
Right.
But now we can say your boyfriend instead of man friend.
Yeah, he is my boyfriend.
Oh.
He is. Yeah.
And the divorce is final?
Not yet.
That's fine. But it's like,
I think
it's
that's
over.
Another reason
that's
why
probably
I'm,
why. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm, you know, cautious and.
Cautiously cautious.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you guys are good, though.
Super good.
Yeah. What makes it different? Like, why?
The communication is so incredible.
That's sweet.
Has Rocco met him? Mutual respect. Yes.
He has.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes him?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jen has a boyfriend.
And I lied about it.
You did. Oh, you know what? We're going to talk about your lying ways right now because Leslie Gustafson is on the phone. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Really great. Delighted to be here.
Thank you so much for being on this podcast. I'm Jana, and we also have producer Jen here.
Hi.
Wonderful. Hi, Jen. Hi, Jana. So nice to meet you both.
Nice to meet you too. I've heard you're just like the guru of all things sex, love, marriage, and family. Is this true?
Which is code for I'm old, I think.
No. It's called experience, right?
It's my life. It's my passion. I've been privileged to do it for a very long time. So yes.
How are you the guru at these things? Like how have you made this? I mean, did you and your husband have intimacy issues, or is it just something that you've always, that's just where you've, grown with your therapy or?
Well, I started out years ago kind of practicing generally with depression and anxiety and women's issues and all of that, but I had a failed first marriage, to a guy who had, what we don't call sexual addiction now, but it definitely was sexual addiction, and he'd had an affair and we never recovered. And from that, at the same time, I was working with couples and feeling like I can't even treat the whole couple because we have no training in sexuality in graduate school, believe it or not, very little.
Really?
And I thought,
for all therapists, even now?
Yes. Wow. There's like one class on sexuality, usually, if that. And we're just not prepared to be able to treat a whole couple. And I'm like, I need to get better at this. And my heart is to be able to help everybody in their most important areas of their life, because it so greatly affected me personally. But then I was just feeling, you know, not capable of helping, and people need it.
So are you technically then a CSAT?
I am a certified sex therapist. Yeah. I've been practicing sexuality, sex therapy since 2004. Yeah.
Wow.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And then my husband, my current husband, because I've been married 21 years, we wrote the book Amazing Intimacy, Create a Spectacular Marriage in and Out of the Bedroom. So we see men, women, and couples all day long. That's what we do.
That's amazing. Well, so can I ask, I know, like usually therapists ask you questions. I mean, like patients ask you questions, but I'm just curious because, you know, obviously, I'm not sure if you know my background at all, but my husband, he's had it.
I've just gotten to know you in the last 24 hours, and I have to say I'm so honored, and I just think you're fierce, and I think you've walked through so much that I'm just touched by your journey, and you're only 34, and I'm like, what? Wow.
Thanks. Well, I appreciate it. I mean, it's been tough, but I guess my question, I'm curious, is because, you know, obviously my husband has had affairs, your first husband had affairs, and you didn't get through it. If you would have had the training that you had now, do you think you would have been able to have made your first marriage work, or it was...
Possibly. I don't have a lot of regret, because I think that marriage needed to end, and he went off to get more well. I think because it ended, and I went off and was able to have really the marriage that I had longed for and probably not really chosen, but should have. And then I ended up with the gift of a marriage that I never imagined could be so amazing, with a partner who could be with me in the way that I needed. But my ex, you know, we were very much in love, but there was just too much damage in a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't getting well, and he wasn't recovering. So I was continuing to put myself back into the same situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I definitely hear that. Luckily my husband is, yes, has he had slips along the way? Sure. And it's, you know, it's almost broken us to the, you know, point of filing, but at the same time, like he knows that it's like, okay, if this continues to happen like that, like, by like, I can't, there's only so much that women can take without literally just being like, I can't live my life if this is going to continue to happen. And that's when I think he had his aha moment too, and he changed his life. And so, you know, luckily he's amazing now, but it's just having that fear, I think, is like, as a person on your couch right now, I guess what I'll say is, I'll say this, like, it's hard for me to, because I know that's always in the back of my mind. Like, things are amazing. Things are great. Like, we're expecting another child, and thank you. And, you know, our family's great, but I told this to our couples therapist too, is I'm so scared of that. Like, where's the next shoe that's going to drop?
Like, yeah. And that's a response that's completely normal when you've gone through, and I consider it a trauma. Infidelity is a trauma. And it takes a while to get out of that crisis mentality. I think you're a couple of years in, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's of doing the work
and recovering and working on it. And you've got two willing partners here who are committed to doing the work and willing. And that's so important. And that's everything. But it takes a very long time to get out of that mindset that says, you know, what if it happens again? Or even being triggered when little things come up in the day-to-day, which I'm sure that still happens for the two of you. But what I like to say to couples, and I think it might be helpful to you to hear too, is that once we run into something like this that happens relationally, we have a kind of awareness when it's not, you know, hypervigilance that is so helpful, because none of us are certain that we're going to be able to love each other all the days of our life well without hurt. And so to have a healthy awareness that, wow, we actually have to stay at this. And we have to be involved with each other, and we have to keep working at it. For marriage, any marriage to work is a kind of awareness that everybody needs to come into if they're going to make it last.
Right.
And it's unfortunate, or maybe not, that it came through the tragedy and trauma of infidelity. But I have seen so many people have that be the amazing impact that turns the whole thing around, deepens the relationship, and allows us to do some of the work that we maybe needed to do and hadn't done before. And it doesn't. It's what was needed, like a crisis,
right?
For the growth to happen.
Absolutely.
But what about for the couples that are just like that don't have infidelity? That it's their marriage is fine and there's nothing going wrong, but yet it's still, there's not that, like,
the passion.
The passion. Yeah, the passion's not there. Like, what, like, and it's like, how do you kind of jumpstart that? How do you start to be like, okay, I'm going to give him something that he needs, but yet you're so stuck in your normal
monotony of life.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a great question. And of course, it's kind of the bulk of the work I do all the time, because once you journey along as a couple, it does kind of settle into, you know, we're doing our lives and we're doing responsibilities.
We got kids taking the kid this way. Bye. High five.
And we kind of deprioritize.
And those early high flying feelings that kind of drove the relationship initially, where we're like, oh my gosh, we're the same and you're fabulous. And oh my gosh, you're into me and I'm into you. And there really is a heightened state for a good couple years that we can ride out on. And then about the 2 year, maybe 18 months, 2 year mark, it starts to dip. And we're like, oh, he's a real person. Oh, she's got stuff too, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And we kind of fall from that really heightened place, which is necessary because we can't just stay heightened or rely on our feelings forever and a day. But it can be the time where you're like, we got to figure out how to do this love thing. Like, how do we do real relationship now and keep it alive and exciting? And it doesn't just happen anymore. We have to make it happen. But we can't deprioritize ourselves and stop dating and do all the things that we once did and expect we're going to have the same glow.
Mm-hmm.
But I always try and ignite something new.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like whether it's a new restaurant or a new area in the city, because otherwise I feel like we are such creatures of habit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, where do you want to go? You pick from the same five restaurants, pick from the same, you know, five coffee places, mm-hmm. and you're not experiencing anything new.
Yeah.
So it starts to feel just like Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
Yes, and boring, because it used to be exciting, and then it slips into what we want, which is secure and stable. But then it starts to feel like, well, did I marry my brother? That's not what I signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
Because both poles, if you will, are essential, that you have novelty and adventure and uncertainty, but you also have this stable, secure, intimate life. Like,
right.
Both need to be happening, because we marry for the excitement. We marry for the partnership and the good feelings and the companionship. But then it settles into, oh, this feels so good to be, you know, stable and secure.
Right.
But not for very long.
Leslie, do you think the idea of marriage is outdated? I'm talking about the legal aspect of marriage. Like, you go to the courthouse, get the marriage certificate. You have to get married within 3 days.
I don't know that it's outdated. I don't think our needs for connection and belonging and depth of relationship, those are core to who we are as people. So commitment, connection, that will never be outdated.
Then why do they say that people are... people aren't meant to be monogamous.
That's very current thinking, because the idea is that you will settle into kind of this stability and security, and maybe we're really not made for monogamy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we have to start looking for novelty elsewhere in order to get all of our needs filled. And it is true that one person can't do it all for us. And so part of the thinking is that. And so, you know, do we find other ways to get needs met? Now, I'm not a defender of that at all, but it is current thinking. And there is kind of a non-monogamy.
Well, is that where it's like, okay, so if one person, you know, love language is more touch, and the other person's like, I hate touch, does that mean then that person basically has to, like, give them that every once in a while to meet halfway?
Absolutely, because there's no way you're going to have a long-standing, committed relationship of any kind if there isn't willing to self-sacrifice and surrender and not do what feels good for you all of the time.
But what if it's not what you want to do? I'm not saying, I'm just speaking for some people that I have DM'd me to be like, it's too much energy out of my day and after the kids, and it's I don't want to.
Here's the thing and why it will work. Because when someone says, I don't want to do it, I say, I wonder if that person's needs are getting filled. Because when we are pouring into each other, you get this wonderful cycle going kind of organically where he's giving to me and I'm giving to him. And we want to give because it feels good to give and we're in this positive place and he gives and I give. It's a different thing than sitting there going, I don't want to give because I'm not getting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because if we aren't getting, we'll stop wanting to give and we'll start getting resentful.
Yeah.
So well, and just if you don't want to, that could be a clue. Now, how come I don't want to? What's not happening for me that's enlivening me in such a way that I don't want to? Do I have a resentment? Do I have a block? Do I feel like he's not attuned to me?
Well, what if the person is just for my husband, for example, intimacy is really, really hard for him. So it's
Meaning emotional connection.
Yeah. And just even sometimes he's I want to hold your hand, but maybe I don't want to. So I almost have to tell myself, hold her hand because I know that she's going to like me holding your hand. But then at the same time, I'm that hurts my feelings because why wouldn't you want to hold my hand? But that kind of being intimate is tough for him. So it's but he knows that I like that. But then at the same time, I don't want him to be doing something if you don't really like it or mean it. But he's I don't know if he's trying to train
your
himself.
Your love language is kind of touch. Your love language that does it for you is touch.
Touch is my number one, and then words.
And then what is his?
Acts of service and affirmations.
Okay. And do you find when you lean into those more that he's more open to
100%, yeah.
See, and that's that kind of give and give that just sort of allows you, because it doesn't dawn on him if it's not his love language. It's not. I don't know his background, but maybe he wasn't touched a lot as a child. There wasn't a lot of affection. He learned to go at like an independent guy, completely separate from other people. I don't know. That's not an uncommon scenario for someone who has difficulty with touch. Hmm. But when you speak to him in his love language, all of a sudden he softens and then he's able to enter in, or vice versa.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't want to be emptying the dishwasher, but I know it'll make him happy.
Well, for years, this is a funny story. For years, my husband was doing acts of service for me all of the time. And it was that's fine, but you're kind of annoying.
Right.
Because it wasn't my thing, but it was his thing. And so we often do the thing that we want, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't until we finally figured it out. This was years ago. And it's I'm a touch girl. And he's oh,
right,
and that's not necessarily his thing, but he has found when he has taken effort to touch me that he can find his need for touch then too.
Yeah. I'm words and touch.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to coffee, it's I love you if you bring me coffee. So that would be an act of service, right?
Yeah. Right.
And then my girlfriend Catherine's in the studio. She hates me right now. But your love languages are what is it? It's gifts and right?
Yeah. Jen, are we talking Jen?
No, my girlfriend Catherine is in the studio with me. And so her love language is I think it's gifts and acts, isn't it?
Yeah. Acts of service and gifts.
And her husband's is, touch. And so they're so different. So it's how do you meet in the middle when they're completely opposite?
But what's so kind of cool about it is you're kind of covering the whole range now. So in a way, your love language is provisional for the other. Because if you've got some gifts going and acts of service going,
right.
And the funny thing is for women, they always say, what's the love language? Is your love language the one I'm not getting right now?
Yeah.
But
that's true.
When you have different ones, then you end up with more ways to love each other.
Right. Because if you have a couple that has the exact same love language, they'd never leave the house. Right.
I rarely see that. I see that too, where they have the same one. There's usually different. And so that's good because it adds the novelty, right? Because, if we had this all figured out, we wouldn't say interested.
Right. Exactly.
So my girlfriend has incredible hair. And I just got my extensions taken out. And I was like, what do you, like, how many extensions do you have in your hair? And she's like, no, no. She's like, I take Sugar Bear hair. And I was
get
like,
out.
Stop. I was like, I've seen that on your ads, but I didn't know if it's like.
It works.
If it actually works or not, because you just never know. But yeah, she's like, they're fantastic. Little, like, they look like gummy bears. Mm. So she gave me one. They taste fantastic. They're actually the best seller on Amazon.
Wait a second. They yeah. Have-
Which is like
they have
amazing.
As much vitamin A as 4 cups of broccoli.
As much vitamin C as 1 cup of cranberries. And as much vitamin B12 as 4 organic eggs.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's
insane.
I know. But it's also good for your nails and skin. Oh. It helps the quality. But I don't know. I think it's great. Not only is there good vitamins in there, but if keeping your hair healthy. Because I've like noticed like as I'm getting older, my hair is like thinning out a little bit.
I used to have the thickest hair on
really?
The planet. And I still have thick hair, but I've noticed also it starts to become dull.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And this is going to keep it nice and pretty.
I know what I'm doing.
Go to sugarbearhair.com/Jana for beautiful hair and a healthier you. That's sugarbearhair.com/Jana. sugarbearhair.com/Jana.
So
you have some pretty cool emails. Do you want to try to get them from?
Oh, fun.
So we got
like, oh, fun. We Wait, got where are you based, by the way?
I'm originally from California, but I moved to Colorado 7 years ago. Okay. I'm an Orange County girl. Yeah.
Okay. So your practice is in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, if I'm ever in a dire need situation, I'll come your way.
I'm in California, so I still online coach to California.
Oh, I love that. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have this one direct message from Taylor. And we're using fake names because we didn't want to out anyone with their questions.
Makes sense.
What would be the definition of a healthy sex life in a marriage? My husband wants to have sex every single day, but with 2 kids, a full-time job, we average about once a week, sometimes twice. Is that enough to keep a marriage healthy? We've been together for 14 years and married for 9.
That's a great question. And do you know that's the number one reason couples come see me is they have a difference in sexual desire. One is higher, one is lower, one wants more than the other. And I have never met a couple that wants to have sex all the time at the same time.
Yeah,
so we all
right.
have this issue of trying to like, he wants it more and I want it less. And it can't be a numbers game. Healthy sex is a couple that can come together and figure out their rhythm and have a way with each other that they have consistent, mutually wanted, mutually pleasurable experiences. Consistent, mutually wanted, mutually pleasurable experiences. We consider a sexless marriage, get this, between 10 to 15 times per year or less.
A sexless marriage is 10 to 15
times a year
or less. So if you're having sex 10 to 15 times a year, that's a sexless marriage.
It's a little bit under the bar. It's a little bit of a strain for most couples. Mm-hmm. But again, people have to find what works for them. But consistency is key. Because what happens when sex drops off, I've noticed, is that people get, one, they get more prickly with each other. They get more defensive, less soft, less open. And then they start getting avoidant.
Yeah.
And the longer you go, the more those things become heightened. Whereas if you're continuing to have that bonding super glue, which isn't just sex, but really rich, connecting, intimate experiences. And when I say mutually pleasurable, I'm not saying they even have to be mutually orgasmic. I'm saying people walk out of the room and go, yeah, I would do that again.
No, I get it. I mean, like, this is like TMI, but like, you know, I said to my husband, we have check-ins every night. Do you know Phanos check-ins?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we do that. It's feelings, affirmations, needs, own, and then kind of like our, you know, when we're going to therapy, what he's doing for, you know, his stuff. And, and one of my needs last night was, you know, I haven't felt like he's been intimate with me, and you know, I'm starting to feel like a little bit of a strain. And it's like, because whenever he is then intimate with me, like I soften like immediately, and then I'm like, I don't need like, and then I'm like, I'm good, you know what I mean? And I could be good for a week or two, and then
because
it's
you
like,
feel
oh,
so
okay.
connected,
And like, and even like, and here's the thing too, again, a little TMI, but like, even when I know, for me. Yeah, well, me neither, but like, even if I don't have an orgasm, I'm like, I still feel connected. Like, it's still like, it's great for me because I know that I pleased him, but I still felt wanted and needed. So it's like, I'm happy. And it's not that he didn't, you know, God, like my poor mother-in-law right now. That's what's too TMI for, or my maybe father-in-law or my Uncle Roy who listens. Awesome. But it's like, it's just like, I'm okay. Even if I don't, because it's still like still being intimate with him and like having that like connection with him.
Yeah. Right. So. I understand that. Yeah. I completely understand that. And you know what? Don't worry about your family. They know you're having sex. You're
that's
pregnant.
True. I mean, no. Well, I mean,
you just don't want to hear that they are.
Well, yeah. And or like my orgasm schedule. Like, my Uncle Roy's like, sometimes I have to close my ears. But that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. And so in answer to the, you know, what's healthy is every couple's got to discover it for themselves. But that guideline of mutually pleasurable, mutually wanted and consistent. And it's so much harder in different life stages. And frankly, the one that you're in now and people who have young children or they're in the child rearing stage is the very hardest, not only on sexuality, but on marriage in general. I kind of call it the marriage trenches sometimes.
Yeah, well, it's
true.
Because
you're trying to negotiate so much in this life stage. And so a lot of times the sex becomes challenged and tense. And the guys are wondering where their wives went because all of the emotionality and love is going towards children. And they're like, oh, right, us. Oh, you have needs too. So it's a very complicated time to maneuver.
So how do you maneuver that? Because, I mean, yeah.
Communication, and then a willingness to be leaning into each other's needs and taking care of each other. And sometimes taking care of mama is about giving mama a break.
Yes.
Because she's being pulled on and feels needed all the time, and she feels like a caregiver. And there's nothing really sexy about feeling like a caregiver.
Okay, I agree with you, but then also on the same point, like, again, because I'm the one that wants more sex in the marriage, but for me, it's like, I don't want to just feel like a mom. I want to feel sexy. I want him to, like, touch me and, like, not just look at me, like, as his, like, mother that birthed his children, you know? So it's like...
Right, because you don't want to be seen as a caregiver by him. You want to be seen as his woman. Like, you want to be, like,
hot mistress.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes that gets hard for women when they are caregiving all of the time. They lose sight of that side of themselves. So that's cool that you are still hanging on to it and like, let me not be mama.
Yeah.
Let me, you know, step into, you know, where I can be touched and be, you know, the central person that I am. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot to manage in that life stage, kind of shifting gears.
It's so hard.
It's so hard, isn't it?
It's rich, but it is hard. And you're in the heart, you know, and here you are pregnant again, right? And wow.
I will say, though, one thing that, like, is, I think, probably key, and you've said this now a couple times, too, is just communication. Because if you're not talking about your feelings or what's frustrating you or what your needs are, it's like if you're not, like, communicating your needs in a healthy way, you're going to go out sideways, and it'll be over like a freaking lampshade not being turned off, or, you know what I mean?
No, like, you're absolutely right. And I was married for 16 years and I was a communicator and he wasn't a communicator. Mm. And I continued to grow and grow and grow. And we got married very, very young, and he sort of
stayed
in, you know, in that, like, in the 20s.
And not maturing and learning how, you know, to grow himself and learn how to connect with himself and learn how to communicate. And absolutely communication. And then, you know, most of us have a little bit of a learning curve around how to communicate about sex.
Right.
Like, and who taught us that? No one.
No one teaches you how to communicate those needs.
No. What happens is Google and the internet teaches you the bad stuff that you shouldn't be watching.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this is why I do what I do. Yay.
Yeah.
No, it's like, awesome.
Oh. She's like, thank goodness, because I get paid.
It's hard to get freed. It's hard to get freed up and feel permission to be able to, like, and what words do we use and how does this go? And do we wink, and is it nonverbal, or do we learn how to, like, say the words and, you know, and say what you need and just discover what you need. And for women to be able to say, it's okay that I want sex.
It's true. And I was just going to say, I'm now with somebody who...
She announced that she finally has a boyfriend. Yes. Today. But she lied to me about it first.
I know. I still don't know why I did that, except that I don't think I was ready to announce it on the podcast.
Sorry, I'm like,
but it
because
just happened.
I live such an open life. I'm like,
no, it happened. And I'm okay with that.
Announcement right now.
Pardon me?
Is this the official announcement right now, or has it been announced?
Oh no, before? We announced it right before we got on the phone with you. It was it was quite funny. You'll have to listen.
I was like, she's like, no, just a friend. Wait, oh my God, I lied to you. Like, it's like, why?
But what I was going to say is, he is mature mm-hmm. and older and mm-hmm. communicates mm-hmm. and makes me feel respected and is super kind. So I'm able to communicate with him. And right. it is such a different experience. Next level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's incredible.
Leslie, can you tell me about your box? Because I think it's so incredible what you guys are doing.
I'm so excited about my box. It's called the Amazing Intimacy Box. And here's
can you
thing.
Send me, I mean, I'll sign up for yeah. it too, but I would love that. I think for couples that like need kind of help igniting.
Yeah. And it's going to be kind of a whole box, which means I'm bringing love, sex, and, you know, amazing life to your doorstep with experiences that you can have together as a couple that are fun, that are sensual, because they've got to have the love and the sex component. Also going to be coaching you through with written materials too. And super great products that are kind of luxe products that you would like to keep that live beyond the one experience. Mm-hmm. I have heard over and over how hard it is for people to prioritize, carve out time, mm-hmm. go on dates, nurture their relationship. And I just needed to make it easier for people because when it comes to your doorstep, and we're still that kind of culture now, right? We can just get online and say, order that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When it comes to your doorstep and it shows up and it's all created for you, then I'm trying to eliminate obstacles and excuses so that you actually can just make it happen.
So it's a monthly?
It's starting out quarterly.
Quarterly, yeah.
Okay.
And then hopefully moving to monthly.
Has it started yet?
It is launching. The website is up. If you're interested, the Amazing Intimacy Box, you can say, yeah, keep me looped in. It will be launching this fall. And okay. I'm so excited.
I will pimp that out like crazy.
Amazing Intimacy Box. The product. I'm loving it.
I'm super excited. I'm excited about that. So have you ever heard of the Love Dare?
Yes.
Okay, so my husband and I did that, and then we got halfway through, and then mm-hmm. some stuff happened, and we... had to unfortunately take a little break from it. But what I'm frustrated is, and this is a question for you how to help me with this, is like, I want to start it back up. I want to do things to like that, like strengthen and fun things for us to be like intimate with. But I feel like he's like resistant to it or doesn't like make the time. It's like he makes time to go to his therapy sessions and this and that. But he's like, but where's, I mean, I know like he's gonna hate me for saying all this, but like, cause I know he like makes time for me, but I want to be able to do like fun things that can like help us together with intimacy stuff.
Yes. And that's exactly what this is designed for. And here's my prescription. And people get, sometimes they just, their jaw just kind of drops, but here's my prescription for how much time we should be spending. We should have a date night a week. Mm-hmm. We should have a day together every month. We should have a weekend away every quarter and a week together away per year.
Hmm.
And since no one ever does that, I thought, well, I better create this box.
Yeah, I love you. It's basically.
I just can't wait.
Yeah, I'm so excited. And I just appreciate you doing this because this is the stuff that, like, I honestly have looked online for things like mm-hmm. this and I haven't found something that would be, you know, beneficial for both of us. So I'm really looking forward to this box.
This is not just another date box because I'm trying to give it some real substance.
Yes. And that's what, because that I did see one of those and I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, I don't want to play like Jumanji or like this, like whatever.
Like sex Jumanji.
Yeah, I was like, that's not what I want to do. I want it to be like meaningful. Yeah. Jenga. It was Jenga. And we did play it and we got it. And I was like, okay, but I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Like, this
or
isn't
sex
like,
dice.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, I don't take off your top. Like, we're not in fucking high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, I want, like, you are my husband and I want to do something that's like
intimate.
Yeah. And helps us and that can grow and that we can maybe use some of these things for later. So I'm so pumped and thank you, Leslie, being on the show and for being a rock star for couples that need help.
Thank you for having me on the show, and I hope it was helpful and enriching in some way, and
yeah,
keep at it. Keep at it. Can I have you on the show again?
Because I really like you.
I love it. And if you do, I want to come meet you because it's so much better in person. Yeah.
Oh, that would be fun. When you are in California next, please let us know because I want you here. I was actually bummed when I found out that you weren't going to be in studio. So then we can actually do callers.
No worries.
Okay. Well, then we're going to make that happen. Segment part two with Leslie. Thank you so much.
I loved your other one you did with your husband. That was so meaningful and so
well. His ass will be here when you are in studio. So we'll dive real deep. Okay.
Poor guy.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Leslie.
My pleasure. Okay, Take care. Bye.
I love her.
She's incredible.
I need her and Michael and all of us in the studio.
I know. We need her number and speed dial.
Yeah, we should. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be fun? Like if you bring your boyfriend, Catherine, you fly in with Nick.
Group therapy. That's more like group therapy.
Sounds like so much fun. But like her husband would like, Nick is like, he loves therapy. So he would like, he would love it.
Your husband loves therapy?
Loves it.
You couldn't ask for anything better.
Well, but she's
I don't love therapy.
You don't love it?
I mean, I like therapy alone.
Right, but couples therapy. Yeah, I mean, it can get really uncomfortable. Yeah.
It's hard when, like, you know, it's like not to like dive too much in the relationship because I'm like, I obviously know everything about them. But like, it's hard when, like, you know, she wants to more do it on the, you know, her own couples therapy, you know, her own session when it's right. Like, it's hard, but it's just, you know, marriage, you know, because you've been married for how long?
11 years.
Yeah. So that's like, that's where I feel like you can kind of get in that, not rut. And I'm saying you guys are in a rut at all, but like,
like she said, the young kids thing, you get into, you know,
she's got three kids. Yeah. 2, 5, and 9.
Whoa.
So it's like,
you look like you're 22.
She's six. I keep saying five.
Are you kidding me?
I know. Isn't that crazy?
22. You have a 9-year-old?
She has a nine-year-old who's in like football, baseball, and then like Emmy or like her daughter is in like, you know, cheer camp and like, and then, you know, the 2-year-old that's a few weeks younger than Jolie. It's just like, I mean, it's like, that's where like, for me, it sounds overwhelming. I'm like, yeah. Like, and then 11 years in a marriage, it's like, it's almost like where it could get so, like we were saying, mundane and just
because we're creatures of habit.
Absolutely.
It's like everybody goes to bed at 8. Everybody gets up at 6:30. Everybody eats the same cereal for breakfast.
You go grocery shopping, this and that. Right. We cook. But then it's, I think what she's starting to realize and other people that are now those many years in, it's like, okay, now we have to like do the work on the marriage, which is like hard when you haven't done it. Not that you haven't done it. I'm not saying that at all. But like when you like, it's just like, oh crap, now like, now the kids are getting older, now our stuff is getting more like out there, you know?
Right. It's kind of blowing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like,
and then you have to work.
Yeah. On top of that.
And yourself.
And you're like, can you just leave me alone?
Right.
Yeah. And then when you, like, people have like different, you know, when they have different love languages like that on top of it, it's like, holy moly, that's just therapy.
It's very complicated.
Yeah.
And that's why it's not easy. And that's why not everybody can do it.
Right.
So if you're doing it and you're in it and you're continuing to do it, you have to give yourself.
It's so much easier to walk away, though.
It's so much easier. Are you kidding? It's so much easier to just say like, screw that.
I know. But I love that, you know, people are fighting for it. So
I do, too.
And you know what I also love is stamps.com.
Me, too.
So I just think it's great because after a long day of doing kids and cooking, and it's just so convenient to be able to go on stamps.com and get postage. You can buy and print real U.S. postage for any letter or any package. It's available 24 hours a day, which is like my favorite, 7 days a week. All you have to do is click, print, mail, you're done. It's fantastic. They even send you out a digital scale. So if you're not sure, like, you know, if how much something weighs, like it's super easy. I mean, like this podcast, you can listen whenever you want when it's convenient for you. So right now use Jana for this special offer. It's a 4-week trial, which includes postage and a digital scale. So don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Jana. That's stamps.com. Enter Jana. Hey, Easton, do you mind reading a couple emails from our listeners, the one from Jessica about panic attacks?
I would love to.
Yeah.
All right. Dear Jana, I'm obsessed with your podcast. While I listened to the podcast today, I couldn't help but just want more and more when talking about anxiety. I went on anxiety meds last November and have struggled with panic attacks lately, and I don't know what triggers them. I've tried using the Calm app to slow my breathing, but ultimately I end up resorting to prescribed benzodiazepines. Can you offer any insight?
Okay, so yeah, Jen and I have anxiety.
Yeah.
Jessica, I'm sorry, girl. It sucks. And sometimes it's so frustrating for me, too, because it'll literally come out of nowhere. And it's like, why am I having a panic attack? I'm not upset. I'm not on a freeway. I'm totally fine.
But it's subconscious. Something is triggering you subconsciously, and you end up having the anxiety. The anxiety builds because you start to get like, oh, my God, why is this happening? What's going on? And then there you go. Mm-hmm. Full-blown panic attack.
It sucks.
It does.
What I'll say, though, that works for me, I had some really bad PTSD from that abusive relationship that I was in a million years ago. But and so sometimes when I'm home alone, obviously Jolie's always with me. But even if I'm like at a hotel somewhere and I'm on the road traveling, I'll still wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with just like really, really, really bad anxiety. And what helps me is knowing that I have like a Xanax in my purse. I rarely ever take it. It's just nice to know that it's like there. It's like my security blanket. Mm-hmm. I always have my water to make sure that I'm, you know, okay. I have that. But then also like I'll lay in my bed and I do the like the four senses. So it's like, what have I not noticed in the room? So I start to look around like the room. I'm like, okay, there's a crack in the door. And then it's like, do I hear a sound? I'm like, and so I start to like listen to something. And then like another one is like smell. And then the other one is I always like feel like touch something that's like, okay, this, and it gets me out of my panic because my mind is doing something else.
Right. Because it pulls you into the moment.
Yeah.
In that way, because your anxiety comes from the unknown. Mm-hmm. And when you're in the unknown, you're thinking of the future. You're thinking of other things.
Yeah.
And all of those things pull you right back.
Yeah. But it's still hard. I mean, no, the amount of times that I've called like the ambulance to come get me or just to know that like I wasn't like alone. It's so hard. But if you can try doing things like that, some people count. I have a friend counts. Yeah.
Like if you do the three count breath.
I do three in, three out. So it's like... 1, 2, 3, exhale 3. And that helps slow, but it's taken me 10 years to get to a place now where, I mean, I still have panic attacks. I'm still on anxiety medicine, but I'm able to talk myself out to, and I also do this too. I always make sure someone has their phone on. So like, I'll be like, hey, you know, if my guitar player, I'll say, hey, can you, do you mind just keeping your phone on so that if I do call you? So I know that if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I can call and he would pick up.
Right.
He would be there if I needed to be like, oh, okay. And then usually I'm fine. And then like, even if he did answer, I'd be like, okay, I'm fine. Like, sorry, I just needed to make sure someone was there. So just try to get things that work for you, but it's going to take time and give yourself some grace.
That's great advice.
It sucks.
It really is. No, it is. And you know what I've started doing with Rocco in the morning? Just he does not have anxiety. Mm-hmm. But this morning, I actually started it this morning. I ordered a mindfulness game pack.
Mindfulness things are great.
It's so much fun.
The coloring?
It's an activity every day. Okay. So this morning he started off, he woke up, he sleeps with me. So he was like, good morning, mama. Aww. You know, it's the cutest. He's so cute. And I said, listen, before we get out of bed, before we do anything, I want you to take three count, three breaths. So he did the deep breathing for three, you know, a three count breath. And then he was like, oh, I feel so good. And it's like instilling those little tools, even when they're that young, when they don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Is incredible.
It's almost like a, what's that called?
Meditation.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Easton, next one.
All right. This is from Jana Lynn. My question is about how you deal with mom guilt when it comes to having a career that you love while trying to raise kids and keep a relationship with your husband. I have two little boys, 3 years old and 9 months old. I'm about to go through a major career change in August, which I'm so excited about, but it will take me away from my family more often. My husband is struggling with the thought of balancing his own career and adding more responsibility to the kids, and all of this is causing me some major mom guilt.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard having like a career, and it's hard. I mean, I'll say this, like, you know, something that to keep in mind, it's like, for example, like my girlfriend Catherine is out here with me. She's got three kids at home. She you know, when we, you know, she's away from them right now, but when she comes home on Friday, she's mm-hmm. going to make sure on Saturday that she's putting those kids down to sleep. Like right. she's making, what is it? Mindful time. Like you're making, cause I had asked like, hey, let's all do like a couples thing that night. And you're like, well, I can't because I have to, I want to put my kids down. Like right. I haven't seen them. And it's like, you're making the time to like,
it's give and take, yeah. you know, when you know mm-hmm. you're going to be gone, then I'm going to, you know, I'm going to make sure that I'm there for the next couple of nights. Doesn't always happen that way with my career, unfortunately, but I try to as much as I can.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it's hard. I was just in New York for a week.
Right.
And I got back and I was supposed to go to an event. I got back on Friday. I was supposed to go pick Rocco up from camp, bring him home, have a babysitter come over and go to an event that night.
Oh my God, and you just got home.
Right. And at the last minute, I was like, I can't do it. I just yeah. can't do it. It's not fair to him.
Yeah.
It's not fair to me. Because...
Well, and you're putting that added stress on you too.
Right.
That's the thing. So it's like, Absolutely. If you can schedule, like, I make sure, because like, I'll do this too. Like, well, I don't want to be more than 4 days because then I'm mm-hmm. going to start to stress out. My work is going to suffer because of it.
Right.
And then I'm going to miss my child. And then, you know, then I'm going to probably take it out on my husband or take it out on somebody else that's mm-hmm. like with me at the time. And then also making time for your partner or spouse too, on top of all that, is really hard because you have your career, you have your kids and then husband, but really your husband should be in the top of that.
Right.
Well, God first, but yeah, you know what I mean? And then,
yeah, you know, the order.
Yeah. yeah. You how, but I mean, it should be like your relationship because that's the core and then, you know, your kids and then, you know, the job and stuff. So it's like,
yeah, listen,
but it's a lot.
It's a lot and it's yeah. not easy. And you know, I work really early in the morning, so I don't get to drop Rocco off at school. I have a nanny in the morning, and once in a while, I will, on a Friday, I'll drop him off at school and come in a little bit later. But I was feeling really guilty about that. But I always picked him up from school. So there was a trade, you know, there was this trade off that was great. But, you know, you just have to get over it. Last night, I had a meeting at 3:00. I couldn't pick him up from camp. And I had to have the, and the whole way to the meeting, I kept thinking, oh, I feel so bad. I should be picking him up from camp. I was just in New York last week. I should be.
And but then maybe like, sorry, I know I just cut you off,
oh, no,
but
no,
like,
okay.
but maybe then have like a great weekend with him, like just
yeah,
time with
what,
him.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And when I got home, he was fine.
Yeah.
So
they're fine. It's yeah. us. They're yeah. fine. But I would also say learn when to say no.
Right.
In your work, mm-hmm. with your friends, with like, that's the hardest thing for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I don't have to go to this event. It'd probably be good if I did, but I right. don't have to. And right now it's more important for me to be home.
Mm-hmm.
Or I really want to see my friends, but mm-hmm. I did see them last week. It's going to be okay if I say no and I just stay home.
Right.
You know, I
You're
think
right.
that's important.
That's so important.
Because we're putting all that pressure on ourselves.
Absolutely. Yes. And it's hard to say no.
It is.
You want to be good at everything. You want to be a good friend, a good wife, a good,
right.
you know, employee, you know, all of that, but you
well,
can't
we're not
be
Beyonce.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly.
And have 10 nope. nannies. so yeah, no, but I mean, just
no, you're right.
That was good, Catherine. And yeah, both of you guys just making, you know, being okay, saying no and just giving yourself grace.
So start practicing. No, no, no,
no, no, no,
no. Sorry. No.
But thank you guys again for sending in your emails and we're going to get to, you know, all these other ones on future episodes.
And if you have any questions for Jana at all, you can just send her an email at janacramer@iheartmedia.com. Easy as that.
And I can't wait to help you out. So HelloFresh has become mine and my husband's absolute favorite obsession. I get so excited because when I come home and I'm like, oh, thank gosh, there's a HelloFresh package at my door. And it's just so nice because I feel like Michael and I, like, our biggest thing is like, oh God, what's for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't want to go to the grocery store. Okay. Like, and especially I do not like going to the grocery store with Jolie because she just like wants
it's just
everything.
Too much.
It's just way too much.
Mm-hmm.
He goes with her, but it's just, for me, I'm not that good with coming up with recipes or ideas or how to really, like, I need something that's very simple and planned out for me. And that's why I love HelloFresh. Each box is made up with fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients from carefully selected farms and high rated trusted sources. It's nice not having to plan dinner, spending money on takeout. I mean, seriously, the amount of money I spend on Postmates is stupid. So that's why I'm like obsessed with HelloFresh because they're good meals. I make them with my husband, or he makes them. It's amazing. It's just spend less time meal planning and grocery shopping each week and get that time back to do more of what you love, which is hanging out with my family. So for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com/Kramer30 and enter Kramer30. That's HelloFresh.com/Kramer30 and enter Kramer30 for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. HelloFresh.com/Kramer30. Enter Kramer30. I loved today's episode.
It was so much fun.
Yeah. Thanks, Catherine, for popping in on.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. This was really fun. It's nice to talk to an actual specialist about things, you know?
She was fantastic.
Yeah, I really liked her a lot. I want her in the studio.
Yes.
With all of our husbands and significant others.
Group therapy.
Yeah, I want Easton's wife to come in too, because I want to I want to get y'all's dynamic. That would be awesome too.
She has a lot to say.
That would be amazing. And of course, I'm super excited that Michael and I are having a little boy. So
exciting.
But I love you guys, and I am so excited to wind down again next week.